One of the scariest events in most people's lives occurs at this time of year. That event is the annual employee performance review. It scares people because they know they're going to be judged. A performance review is, quote, an analysis of the employee's recent successes and failures, personal strengths and weaknesses, and suitability for promotion or further training. So in other words, it's what fruit did you bear? What were your successes and failures? Did you grow? A year has passed. What are your strengths and your weaknesses now? Are you worth investing in? So have you become worthy of promotion or continued training? To put it succinctly, it's the time of year when employees, or servants, if you will, are measured. They are called to account. So do you see any parallels between that event and another event that occurs this time of year? The event I'm referring to, of course, is Passover. The purpose of this message is to use the example of the annual performance review to get us to think deeply about the Passover, and in particular about Paul's instructions and warnings about the Passovers in 1 Corinthians 11. It is also to get us to refuse to do anything less than completely, honestly, humbly evaluate ourselves. Are we objectively meeting the measures the Bible says we must meet if we really want eternal life? Measures like those I mentioned. Are we bearing fruit? If we want eternal life, we have to. John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Measures like, are we growing and overcoming the world and our own weaknesses? If we want eternal life, we have to. Revelation 2, verse 11. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Are we striving to be worthy of our calling? If we want eternal life, we have to. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Verse 2. With all lowliness and gentleness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. So the ultimate purpose of this message is to get us all to take real, rapid, and sincere action. Someone once said, your religion is what you do when the sermon's over. Emerson said, what you do speaks so loudly I can't hear what you're saying. 1 John 3:18 puts it a little differently. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So I'm going through this annual review process at work now, both as a manager and as an employee. The process we go through is the same as at most big companies. First, I set targets for my employees at the beginning of the year, competencies I want them to develop, goals I want them to achieve. At the end of the year, they rate themselves, which is always interesting to read. It's meant to encourage self-examination. People measure themselves against what matters. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not know yourself, or do you not yourselves perceive that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disapproved? So a good question is, is Christ in us? We can measure this. We can measure ourselves against John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Among other things, we should be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness. I don't know any American that doesn't struggle with meekness, and self-control. We can also remember John 15:2 that we already read. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. We all have room to grow. But the Bible says if we're not bearing much fruit, if we're not filled with love, kindness, etc., then there is no time to lose. We must draw close to God and Christ, especially before the Passover, especially before our annual performance review. We must not take the Passover in an unworthy manner. So at work, the next step in the process is the direct manager, me for example, documents what I think of how an employee did, and then all the managers get together, and a manager says, I think an employee performed this way, and all my peers get to challenge my rating. So there's no place to hide in this meeting. The facts end up being the facts. I can't rate somebody highly because I like them. I have to say someone performed well, and here is the proof. One businessman said, it is an immutable law in business that words are words, explanations are explanations, promises are promises, but only performance is reality. And at my company and other companies I've been at, this review process is the only point in time where everybody is measured based on the reality of what they did against the things that matter. This may remind us of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Excuse me. I'll read a couple of verses from there. Matthew 25, verse 19. After much time, the Lord of those servants came and took account with them. As we know, to those who bore fruit, the Lord said, the manager said, well done, good and faithful servant. To the servant who didn't bear fruit, the Lord said what? Matthew 25, verse 30. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Words are words, promises are promises, but performance is reality. I don't know about anybody else, but I have no doubt God is measuring me. Am I bearing fruit? I have no doubt the time of my judgment has begun. And so knowing that, we all would benefit from examining and measuring ourselves. Some of the things I measure people on that work for me are competencies like influencing and building relationships. So can somebody quickly find common ground and solve problems for the good of everybody? Someone skilled at growing relationships not only achieves more, but they help others achieve more. They just make everybody else better. Another measure is priority setting. So do they invest time in what matters, or do they waste time? I ask myself this question all the time. If God measured how I spent my time this week, would he say, good and profitable servant, or would I leave him no choice but to say something else? Another measure is delivering results. Can I count on the people on my team to try their best to achieve their goals? Are they steadfast about pushing themselves and others for results? I have a lot of guys that are really good at talking about stuff. But at the end of the day, when we go through a performance review, what fruit came out of all the talk and all the time? Titus 3, verse 8. These things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable or fruitful for men. At the end of the group review, employees are placed in categories. This is another one of those moments where there's no place to hide. Everybody goes into a category. You have high performers with high potential. You've got good performers who are more or less have reached their potential. And you have low performers who are clearly not using their potential. The first two categories of people get to stay. The last category of person, if they get that low rating enough years in a row, gets to go. What they do says they don't really care about their job. They don't care about the responsibility to the team. In other words, they aren't bearing fruit or growing in the areas that matter most. And this last part is really critical. At work, we rate people on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being really bad, 5 being really fantastic. Everybody, has at least 1-2 rating. In other words, it's an area where he or she, me, is underperforming and needs to change. But what determines who gets to stay and who gets to go is how they measure up in the absolutely critical areas of their job, in the weightier matters of their job, if you will. So a salesperson who shows up early, stays late, knows everything in the world about the product, but doesn't sell much, doesn't get to stay. Sales is the name of their game. What makes sales a challenging profession is that the measure of success or failure is so clear. Someone who doesn't make sales, doesn't produce fruit, really is not a salesperson. Nice guy maybe, but they're in the wrong role. There may be some spiritual parallels for us to think about. So in preparing this message, I mentioned I came across one of the clearest and honestly one of the scariest measures of whether we are really begotten children of God, whether we're walking worthily of our calling. And I'd like to leave us with those verses. They're in 1 John 3. And let's let these sink deeply into our hearts as we decide what are we going to do? What is our religion going to be when today's messages are over? 1 John 3, verse 10. 1 John 3, verse 10. In this, so this is the measure. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So I translate this for myself. If I don't live in a godly way, I'm not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. Verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life. And this is the reason I'm sure we're all showing up and we've all done everything we've done, whether it's 1 year or 25 years or 200 years like Mr. Link. Maybe not 200. 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because, again, a measure, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So I asked myself, what is this love? What does the love of God look like? And we don't have to guess. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Finally, and this is the last verse, The best way to ensure that we have a good review, whether we examine ourselves, whether we're examined by God, or whether we're examined by the world, is in 1 John 3:18. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth.